Yesterday, when asked about reparations, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell offered a familiar reply. America should not be held liable for something that happened 150 years ago, since none of us currently alive are responsible. What this committee must know is that while emancipation deadbolted the door against the bandits of America, Jim Crow wedged the windows wide open. And that is the thing about Senator McConnell's something. It was 150 years ago, and it was right now.
Hi, I'm your host, Hannah Sturgis, and welcome back to Getting Into It, the show where we get into the nitty-gritty of a topic for our mutual enlightenment. Today, we're talking about reparations in the United States for descendants of enslaved people. To understand the movement for reparations today, we have to go back 156 years ago to the formal end of chattel slavery. At the end of the Civil War, officials came up with a resolution that will hang over the U.S. for centuries to come. Colloquially, it's called 40 Acres and a Mule, a promise of land and cattle and eventual economic freedom and advancement for those formerly enslaved and soon to be free. Those 40 acres and a mule never came. But what it leaves us with today in 2021 is the movement for reparations that is fighting to rectify the wrongs of hundreds of years ago that descendants of enslaved people are still being affected by today. Systemic disadvantages in federal and local policies that have kept African Americans unable to have true economic justice and freedom. And as you heard from Ta-Nehisi Coates at the top of our show, the past is still very much informing the present. In this episode, I'm going to be getting into why this movement is being pushed to the forefront now, what it looks like in a modern context, and I'm going to be asking the question we all want to know. Are those 40 acres of a mule that were promised to freed slaves ever coming in the form of economic justice for African Americans today? So sit back and let's get into it. On February 14th, activists from the March for Reparations led a demonstration around the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. Their objective was to raise awareness to the bill, House Resolution 40, which was recently brought to the floor by Rep. Sheila Jackson Lee in 2019. I sat down with the main organizer, Tara Perry, to discuss what they want from the movement.
With Sunday's march, we hope to educate the public on the wealth gap in the Black American community, outline the true issues of our community, make the case for reparations, and place the Biden administration on notice regarding our list of demands.
What would passing House Resolution 40 mean for the larger movement for reparations?
Since we first stepped foot on these shores, the atrocities committed in our community would officially be entered into the congressional record, and the debt would be quantified. America would finally be held accountable for her actions and hopefully forced to make amends for her sins, clearing the path for a just country that will allow her to finally live up to her promise.
Why is economic justice for the descendants of enslaved people in the U.S. such an important social justice movement centuries later?
The Public Policy Institute conducted a study that determined by 2053, the median wealth level of Black Americans will be zero. And that is prior to COVID. So due to COVID, that date has been expedited. Black Americans are only 13% of the U.S. population, yet we are nearly 50% of the nation's homeless. We are placed at the bottom of every single indicator for quality of life. There is no better time than now for us to fight for reparations and economic redress.
I spoke with Dr. Nyambi Carter from Howard University about what passing bills like H.R. 40 would mean for wealth distribution in this country.
People, that H.R. 40, if you look at it, is just a commission to study the issue. There is no check attached to it. There is nothing attached to it. Yet it has not been able to make it out of committee yet to go to a vote. And that tells you something, I think, about the fear of what this could mean for how America operates. If we're talking about reparations as a domain, right? Well, there are a range of things that we can do within that thing that we call reparations. And it doesn't just have to be in terms of money, because part of what you want to stop is a reoccurrence, right, of this kinds of suffering and this kind of oppression, right? I think often people think, well, if you just let that, you know, sort of slavery stuff go, and if you give up that sort of culture of victimization, you will be so much farther along. There can be no progress in forgetting.
The Center for American Progress published a study on just how damaging forgetting is on the lives of African Americans today.
African Americans are more likely to have higher debt, have fewer assets. Many find it difficult to receive loans to become homeowners. And African Americans have 1/10 of the wealth white Americans have on average. So time has not healed the wound of economic injustice.
Nobody thinks, I don't think, a check will fix anything by itself. But certainly does it matter if I can take care of my family? Does it matter that I can feed myself? Does it matter that I have something that I can own? Does it matter that I have a place that I can call mine? So I think economic redistribution is about changing people's everyday life circumstances. Nobody's probably going to become a millionaire off of this, but they certainly can lay the groundwork to create stability, to create communities, to create a generation of folks who hopefully we won't be able to determine their life course based on their zip code and their race.
At the end of my conversation with Dr. Carter, I wanted to ask her what it'll take for the movement to mount a successful case for reparations. Will there be more marches, more legislation? Is there a pattern to follow from other social justice movements?
So if, hey, the enslavement claim isn't one that you're willing to entertain, well, let's look at what's happening right here, right now. And there can be reparations claims made on contemporary Black lives that are happening right now that I also think we don't want to forget.
So the jury is still out on the case of reparation, but the movement pushes on. Around the country, local coalitions and lawmakers from places like Wilmington, Delaware, and Oregon are pressing forward to address economic injustice at a local level so that their own communities can have a future that they deserve. Well, I hope you're as enlightened as I am from getting into it. Until next time, I'm Hannah Sturgis. Goodbye.